Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we decree and we declare that anything and everything is possible. That every mountain melts like wax before the Lord. That when we speak the language of faith, anything and everything that is in front of us has to move. So even right now we speak, and I want you to join me right now. Just speak to that thing that is in front of you. It could have been a negative report. It could have been something that triggered something. Something has been happening that is not of the Lord. You are staring something in the face. Now that you know that anything and everything is possible, speak the language of faith. Point your finger at it and tell it to move now in Jesus' name. Every obstacle, every mountain, every giant moves this day in Jesus' name. Come on, if you believe that with me, and if you know that that which was in front of you has just parted, has just left, never to return again, let your shout be the loudest in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. If you're joining us right there by means of television, or even if you're in this house, you may have a seat. Just quickly get your Bible, get your notebook, get your pen. This morning I want to start off by talking to you about the fact that faith removes all limitations. You heard us earlier talk about the fact that today Chantel and I are going to be talking about what faith can do. So I'm here to remind you today that faith removes all limitations. Right there where you are, even in the comment section there on Facebook, write this down. You can say, faith removes all limitations. Let that be your decree and your declaration even as we start today's broadcast. You see, in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus says to a father who asked Jesus, if you can heal my son. Jesus says, what do you mean if I can? Question mark. As though Jesus is trying to say, and I say this respectfully, as though he was responding to this father, hello. What do you mean if I can? Jesus asked. Then Jesus said this, anything is possible for the one who believes. Come on, do you believe that with me today? How many of you truly believe that anything is possible when you believe? Come on, if that is you, I want to hear you right there at home, right here in this place. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph, for He has given you the victory in Jesus' name. In Matthew 19, 26, Jesus says to the disciples that with man this might be impossible, but with God all things are possible. In Mark 5, verse 36, Jesus said to Jairus, do not fear, just believe. And then in John 11, 40, Jesus says to Martha these words, did I not tell you that if you would only believe, you will see the glory of God? You see, for the glory of God to be made manifest, it only takes you and me to believe. In other words, faith demands agreement. When two or more agree on anything on earth, it shall be done unto them. Now we cannot talk about the fact that faith removes all limitations and not quote Philippians 4:13. Come on, you all know this scripture. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Now wouldn't it be amazing if we actually believed it? What would your life be looking like right now if you actually truly grabbed a hold of that revelation that I can do all things? If this is your declaration even today, I want you again to write this down in the comment section there on Facebook. Make a note thereof. It's where you write down today's date and you say that from this day, I believe, I grab a hold of the revelation that indeed I can and I will do and accomplish all things. In Jesus' name. I want to share a portion of scripture with you. It's from 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings and chapter 4. And I'm going to read from the New King James Version of the Bible from verse 1. It says that a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying that your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant fear the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be slaves. Point number one is the fact that this man, who was one of the sons of the prophets, he was a man of God. He feared the Lord, but he had lots of debt. Her husband was a God-fearing man. And he had accumulated enough debt for the creditors to start running to this widow. Now, there's many people who might actually use the scripture to justify the fact that debt is operating in their life. But I want to say to you, child of God, that debt, lack, poverty, and need is not your portion in Jesus' name. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 34, it speaks about the fact that when the Holy Spirit moved the second time, there was not a needy person among them. So this is why I've made the conscious decision. I will never, ever again ask people, you know, how many of you have got need? How many of you today, you know, are trusting the Lord that He will come and alleviate all need? Because God has already made a way for us. He has already made a way for you. When the Holy Spirit moved a second time, all need was alleviated from the body of Christ. And they began to operate in the blessing of God. Come on, someone right there where you are, say the blessing of God. The blessing of God. What is the blessing? It is God empowering you to prosper. He gives you power. He gives you a supernatural ability so that even against the odds, even when there are natural limitations, He has given you the ability to succeed and to prosper as though there are no limitations in Jesus' name. Come on, right there where you are. If you receive that today and you know that that is your portion, let your amen and shout be the loudest in Jesus' name. In Proverbs 10:22, it says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow with it. And then Proverbs 13:21 says that trouble chases the wicked, but blessing chases the righteous. You see, God doesn't want to meet your need. God is wanting you to experience divine overflow. And the reason is because He is El Shaddai. He is the God of the overflow. He is the God of more than enough. And He wants you to overflow of His goodness and of the blessing of God, even when it comes to material wealth, so that you can be a blessing and meet the needs of those around you. That is truly what it means to walk in true biblical prosperity. It's not about you prospering, but everyone else around you are dying, are trapped in a cycle of poverty. It is God meeting not only your need, but enabling you, empowering you to meet the needs of others. Verse 2, so Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Point number 2 is that she said she had nothing but a jar of oil. You see, when you come to the place where He is all you have, you will discover that He is actually all that you need. Because you and a God is greater than any army. Come on, you can write that down in the comment section. I and God, we are stronger than any natural army. You see, faith always looks beyond the circumstances. What do you see? What have you got in your hand? Nothing. Faith always sees beyond the natural circumstances. This is why we do not look with the natural eye. This is why you don't just open up your pantry doors and you look at what is there and what is not there. You see through the eyes of faith, and God will prosper you. He will empower you to create wealth. He has already given to you the blessing. And it is time, son, daughter of the Most High God, that you begin to operate in the manifestation of the God of overflow in Jesus' name. She saw the natural limitations, but now she was about to find out that faith removes all limitations. Verse 3, it says, then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty vessels, do not just gather a few. Ultimately, it was she who set the limit, not God. God did not set the limit. He did not say, hey, make sure you only get 5 vessels. I can't fill anymore. She set the limit, not God. Why? Because God is limitless. God said this to Moses in Numbers 11:23. Is there any limit to my power? Question mark. That is the question I want to ask you today. You might say it's impossible. I pray that even this moment, faith will rise up on the inside of you so that that which is impossible in the natural, that which is impossible with man, you will see that all things are possible because there's no limit to his power. You see, the only limiting factor in this whole equation is you. It's your mind. It's that which wants to come in the way of the word of God. So I want to challenge you with these words. Never, ever limit God. When he speaks, it's something that's truly great and remarkable. Never, ever play it down. Never minimize that which the Lord has deposited into your spirit. Even right now, I just feel I come against every limiting belief, every form of small-mindedness. It ends today in Jesus' name. You can write this down in the comment section. I will no longer live in a place of limitation. Write this down in the comment. I will no longer live in a place of limitation. Verse 4 says, and when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour out into all of those vessels, and then set aside the full ones. Shut the door. That's point number 3. You see, it was important for her to shut the door to doubt, to shut the door to negative influence, to shut the door to the noise of the world, to shut the door which leads to the outside so that God could open up a door that leads straight into the supernatural. You see, when you shut the door to the natural, God then opens up a door that leads to the supernatural. That which is in the spirit and that which happens in the spirit manifests then in the natural. Everything material starts in the immaterial. Everything seen has its origin in the unseen. You see, you will never ever own it in the natural if you haven't as yet taken hold of it in the spirit. Point number 4 says this. So she went from him, verse 5, and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Point number 4 is pay your debt and live on the rest. I made this statement earlier saying that God is El Shaddai. He is the God of more than enough. He's not the God of lack. He's not the God of poverty. So many have misrepresented God as they've even misrepresented his word. Why is it that the most famous psalm in the Bible, Psalm 23, starts with, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Although we've heard it so many times, Christians still want to believe that somehow want, lack, poverty, need will be my portion, when it is so far removed from the truth. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. You see, God has made a way for you to prosper, for you to succeed, so that everything you put your hand to will produce and will multiply in Jesus' name. You see, we need to allow God to live up to his name, El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. I want to remind you of Jeremiah 32:27, which says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Whatever it is that you have been facing, whatever it is that you've been struggling with, and hey, it might have been a struggle, But I want you to know that your confession should change from the struggle is real to the struggle is over in Jesus' name. Why? Because Jesus Christ endured. He took that cross. He endured that cross by beholding the joy that was set before Him. We can today look forward to life with an absolute joy and a conviction because we have a blessed assurance that what Jesus has come to offer, life and life abundant, is my portion in Jesus' name. And one more time, come on, if you believe that with me, let your shout be the loudest in Jesus' name. I want to give you an opportunity even right now, because we're sowing a seed this morning, not from a place of limitation. We are sowing a seed today from the perspective of I am blessed to be a blessing, that the Lord has prospered me so that I might meet the needs of others. But also, I want to tell you, and I want to remind you, that as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Sowing a seed is not something you do in order for you just to get a breakthrough. And then once the breakthrough comes, hey, I never have to sow another seed in my life. No. The just shall live by faith. Faith is a lifestyle. It is a way of living. It's a way of conducting our lives. Every step we take, whether you might be classified by some as low income earner or as a high income earner, faith is universal from the perspective of every believer walking by faith, in faith, from faith on a daily basis. So even right now, as you get ready to sow your seed, the details are already right there on the screen. Otherwise, you can go to the website, myfaith.tv, and click on that give button. If you're on Facebook, just scroll all the way up on myfaith.tv's Facebook page. Click on the donate button, or right there in the comment section, use hashtag donate. So Lord, we pray over every single one who's taking up this faith challenge today, sowing a seed by faith. I thank you, Lord, that every seed sown by faith will always see multiplication. We speak a 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold multiplication now in Jesus' name. And we decree and we declare that you will never ever lack any good thing, for every good and perfect gift comes from above. So Lord, I thank you that as you did it for this widow, how much more will you not do it for us under a new covenant based on better promises? We receive your promise. We partake of your promise. We will walk in the manifestation of your promise. Faith removes all limitations in Jesus' name.